Lorelei of the Red Mist by Lee Brackett and Ray Bradbury. Chapter 1. The company dicks were good. They were plenty good. Hugh Stark began to think maybe this time he wasn't going to get away with it. His small stringy body hunched over the control bank, nursing the last ounce of power out of the call man. The hot sky of Venus fled past the ports in tattered veils of indigo. Stark wasn't sure where he was anymore. Venus was a frontier planet, and still mostly a big X, except to the Venusians, who weren't sending out any maps. He did know that he was getting dangerously close to the mountains of White Cloud, the backbone of the planet, towering far into the stratosphere, magnetic trap, with God knew what beyond. Maybe even God wasn't sure. But it looked like over the mountains or out. Death under the guns of the Terra Venus Mines Incorporated, special police, or back to the Lunacell blocks for life as a habitual felon. Stark decided he would go over. Whatever happened, he'd pulled off the biggest lone wolf caper in history. The TV Mines payroll ship, for close to a million credits. He cuddled the metal strongbox between his feet and grinned. It would be a long time before anybody equaled that. His mass indicators began to jitter. Vaguely, a dim purple shadow in the sky ahead, the mountains of White Cloud stood like a wall against him. Stark checked the positions of the pursuing ships. There was no way through them. He said flatly, "All right, damn you," and sent the callman angling up into the thick blue sky. He had no very clear memories after that. Crazy magnetic vagaries, always a hazard on Venus, made his instruments useless. He flew by the seat of his pants, and he got over, and the TV men didn't. He was free, with a million credits in his kick. Far below in the virgin darkness he saw a sullen crimson smear on the night, as though someone had rubbed it with a bloody thumb. The callman dipped toward it. The control bank flickered with blue flame. The jet timers blew, and then there was just the screaming of air against the falling hull. Hugh Stark sat still and waited. He knew, before he opened his eyes, that he was dying. He didn't feel any pain. He didn't feel anything, but he knew just the same. Part of him was cut loose. He was still there, but not attached anymore. He raised his eyelids. There was a ceiling. It was a long way off. It was black stone veined with smoky reds and ambers. He had never seen it before. His head was tilted toward the right. He let his gaze move down that way. There were dim tapestries, more of the black stone, and three tall archways giving onto a balcony. Beyond the balcony was a sky veiled and clouded with red mist. Under the mist, spreading away from a murky line of cliffs, was an ocean. It wasn't water, and it didn't have any waves on it, but there was nothing else to call it. It burned deep down inside himself, breathing up the red fog. Little angry bursts of flame coiled up under the flat surface, sending circles of sparks flaring out like ripples from a dropped stone. He closed his eyes and frowned and moved his head restively. There was the texture of fur against his skin. Through the cracks of his eyelids he saw that he lay on a high bed piled with silks and soft-tanned pelts. His body was covered. He was rather glad he couldn't see it. It didn't matter because he wouldn't be using it anymore anyway, and it hadn't been such a hell of a body to begin with. But he was used to it, and he didn't want to see it now, the way he knew it would have to look. He looked along over the foot of the bed, and he saw the woman. She sat watching him from a massive carved chair, softened with a single huge white pelt like a drift of snow. She smiled and let him look. A pulse began to beat under his jaw, very feebly. She was tall and sleek and insolently curved. She wore a sort of tabard of pale gray spider silk, held to her body by a bejeweled girdle. But it was just a nice piece of ornamentation. Her face was narrow.